Welcome to Horsepower, Chrome, and Rust, covering car culture and the automotive world with Shane Osborne, Brady Wright, and Steve, the producer, Johan. Let's see what's up this week.
And a happy new year to you all. Here's what's happening Tuesday, January 8th, 2019. Wow, it's the first time I've actually said 2019.
I know. I was putting 2018 on everything today.
Yeah, like, yeah. No, well, fortunately, nobody writes checks anymore, so you don't really have to worry about that too much. This is, as you have probably figured out, Horsepower, Chrome, and Rust. I am your humble host, Brady Wright. Shane Osborne is still hungover from New Year's. He's not here tonight, but that's okay. We'll make fun of him while he's gone.
Yes.
And, of course, Steve, the producer, Johan, whose New Year's resolution is already down the drain. Back to the
Yes, it is.
We don't even want to know what it was. Back to the blacktop is first. We are checking out all kinds of things happening in the automotive world, and boy, there is a ton. What you got?
Well, actually, there is one, and we will get to it a little later.
No. We need to know.
Is it
a Tesla thing?
Yes.
Ah! Ladies and gentlemen, we're starting the new year out with the first Tesla story of the year.
Let's clear the table real quick.
Go ahead, roll it.
Check out our Facebook page. You are going to see a great little blurb, a little video straight from YouTube of a situation where an autonomous car named Tesla knocked over an autonomous robot at the Consumer Electronics Show.
It's the drone wars.
Yes. So check it out. It's funny. It's about 40 seconds long.
Very good.
And unbelievable.
Well, yeah.
Daimler AG plans to invest $570 million to create 200 jobs at its trucks-oriented technical center in Portland.
Now, Wait a minute. How much money?
$570 million.
$570 million
to create 200 jobs at the truck-oriented technical center in Portland to expedite the development of automated driving for heavy-duty commercial trucks. Now, I have been.
That is where it's going to go, you know.
Well, it is, and here's the thing: I went down there. I oversaw. My son was looking at University of Portland, which is beautiful campus, private college, and it's right on the bluff. And you look right down on the Daimler plant down there.
Yep,
and actually, there's somebody I want to get on the show who has a company called Hot Rod Conspiracy. He works there as an engineer, but he also builds hot rods on the side. But anyways, nonetheless, AG has a pioneering automated trucking has pioneered automated trucking since 2015 with its 2015 Freightliner Inspiration truck, which was granted the first road license for an automated commercial vehicle. Now, they hope to take the autonomous or automated.
Now you can't say it at all.
Well, they're kind of related, an autonomous
sort of,
and automated. So automated trucking to the next level with its partially automated new Freightliner Cascadia in 2019. Hmm. Now, it should be noted that in the trucking industry itself, there is a real need for truckers because the baby boomers are retiring out and they're having a hard time filling those positions. A lot of younger people.
And it's also kind of a transient business. There's a lot of people who get into that work.
Last about 5 years and then move on.
And then they're blown
out. I have a friend that fit that description. The other problem is it has become the most regulated of all industries out there with mandated sleep times, drive times. Drivers are tracked from point A to point B. I mean, literally.
And most of that's around safety, too. You know, in the old days,
it is,
the guys would push themselves too far
and actually,
stuff would happen.
I had a semi-truck veer into my lane. This is in the evening. I was coming home from Seattle in my El Camino, and
The truck wheel is over,
and it goes crunch, 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 and it chews up the side of my vehicle.
You're lucky that's
all
that
happened. And I'm honking and honking and honking, and finally the guy notices, and he jerks back, and he pulls over, and I'm like, look what you just did to my car. God. So I have been a product of, and he was asleep at the wheel.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Well, while we're on trucks, Toyota and Kenworth are collaborating to build their 10 zero-emission fuel-cell-powered Kenworth 18-wheelers. The two companies announced the collaboration of Consumer Electronics Show, again, in Vegas. Kenworth will do the trucks. Toyota will complete the fuel cells. The deal is part of an $82 million program to build the trucks and then infrastructure to fuel them in order to clean up the air around the port of Los Angeles throughout the greater Los Angeles basin. And if you know anything about that area, it has a lot of shipping. It's the West Coast's largest shipping
It's a big one.
Port is Los Angeles. Now, what's interesting is $82 million is coming from California Air Resource Board and its Narrow Zero Emissions Freight Facilities Grant Program. Why am I not seeing Nikola? Now, this is not Tesla. There's a company called Nikola, and they build some wonderful battery-operated trucks. They were like one of the premier companies. They're out of, I think, Utah.
Yeah.
And I'm like, why?
That's not the cough drop guys, is it?
No.
Nikola. No, it's not the same guys.
It's actually Nikola, like Nikola Tesla.
Yeah, yeah.
And anyway, check those guys out. I mean, they make some beautiful, beautiful trucks. And if you were lucky or are lucky enough to attend the Consumer Electronics Convention, you'll be able to see the all-new second-generation Mercedes CLA, which was one of the biggest hits for the German brand when it came out in 2013. And now they've come out with a more sportier edition with plenty of extras to satisfy their car consumers that like these things. And it's still one of the better priced vehicles for what it is. I mean, they hit that's a small little car, and it really hit a lot of people. I think one of the gals in my office complex owns one of those.
They are nice.
They are. And
spendy,
then,
but nice.
Well, yeah. But compared to other cars, you could probably a lot less. And then, as you well know, drivers are responsible for at least 94% of all motor vehicle accidents. Now, I knew that with motorcycles, but it's the same with cars. 90% of all motor vehicle accidents are attributed to the driver themselves, according to the federal data. But what if the vehicle could be equipped with a digital safety system that constantly monitored what the human driver does, ready to step in to correct a potential dangerous mistake? Brady, do you think this type of technology would be a big breakthrough?
It depends on how it's manifested, because Cadillac's driver assist has something like that. While you're in that mode, it watches you. It actually has sensors that look at your face, and if you begin to fade or you don't look at the road, it buzzes and
there you go.
Know, wakes you up. Now, taking that to the next level, you know, are you doing something unsafe? Are you, you know, you have to ask, so what criteria are they using to make that judgment? Still,
yes.
It's not a bad
right.
thing necessarily, because, you know, drive at fault errors, at the very least, you're going to have some property damage and you might end up killing somebody. So
well, you are.
It's worth looking at.
Well, Guardian Technology Toyota thinks that they it is well worth putting money into, and they are. And they hope within the next decade to roll out their semi-autonomous driving systems. But what's interesting is it's not going to take over your car. It's not going to replace you driving. It's not an autonomous. It is only,
right.
like you said, what the Cadillac has probably introduced on a smaller scale.
It's the upgrade of sort of the proximity warning device.
Yes.
Like beep, beep, something's happening.
Oh, you're falling asleep. Beep, beep, beep. Your hands are off the wheel. Beep, beep, beep. Whatever.
Now, the Cadillac, the one that it just happens because I've driven that one. That one, I know if something happens, if you were to pass out, have a heart attack, you know, God forbid something
right.
horrible happens, it stops the car in the lane straight ahead
yes.
and puts on the flashers and everything.
Yes.
Now, you know, there's potential hazard there, but better than driving off the road and hitting something. So
if you pass out,
there's that.
And there's a semi truck behind you and there's no autonomous, you may go all over the place. If the thing takes over and you start slowing down at a gradual pace and your flash is going on, the semi-truck's going to slow down with you. I think maybe the autonomous might be a good fit if you were to pass out.
And, that's one thing I did not do when I did the test drive.
Right.
We were on the freeway, and I didn't want to just, like, let's see what happens.
Right.
But I should have taken it out on some back road, side road someplace
right.
and just, you know, closed my eyes and see what it did.
Well, that's what I'm thinking. What if you went through an insulin shock and you passed out? There's a lot of reasons.
Epilepsy, heart
Epilepsy.
Attack, all kinds
yeah.
of, sure.
There's a lot of reasons. So,
stroke.
I think it might be worth, but they're figuring another 10 years before this
I'm
thing
sure.
rolls out.
Yeah, well, they'll be testing and, you know, safety stuff, and the insurance people will yell and scream at them for a long time, I'm quite sure.
And then to finalize this little section is former Nissan chairman Carlos Ghosn made his first public appearance since being unexpectedly arrested on financial corruption allegations Tuesday, telling
he wasn't
Tokyo
it.
Court that he has been wrongly accused.
Of course he did.
Of course he did.
Well,
I plead the fifth.
Yeah. Hey, more to come. Glad
yes,
you're with
there
us.
There is.
We got a brand new trivia question coming up, and we got a chat with Carla McDonald from the Street Freak Cruisers. All of that and more on Horsepower Chrome and Rust.
Listen and imagine. It takes 5 seconds to send a text, and for those 5 seconds, you're driving blind.
Life is worth more than a text.
Stay alive. Don't text and drive.
Visit StopTextStopWrecks.org, a message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, Noise, and the Ad Council.
Did you hear the news? Cartoons Magazine is back. Yep, those car-crazy comics from the past have returned in an all-new Cartoons Magazine, featuring some of your favorite artists along with a whole slew of new ones, all working together to bring you an entire magazine filled with one laugh-out-loud auto-related story after another. Bi-monthly issues are available directly through the Cartoons Magazine website at cartoonsmag.com.
Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Hey, car enthusiast. Are you in need of a restoration and fabrication shop that turns old steel into rolling works of art? Then look no further than E-Company Customs Hot Rods and Restorations. E-Company Customs, that's Customs with a K, is the Northwest's fastest-growing restoration and fabrication shop, providing frame-off restoration, custom mods, upholstery, rust repair, hand-done metalwork, motor work, body and paint, and a whole lot more. To book an appointment, visit them at ecompanycustoms.com or stop by their shop at 15002 Suite A, Highway 99, Linwood, Washington. E-Company Customs, providing a stress-free experience to both new and returning customers.
This is Robert Durf with the Porsche Club of America Driver Skills Program. Thank you for listening to Horsepower, Chrome, and Rust. And just want to remind everybody that it's no fun unless it smells a little bit like burnt oil and burnt rubber.
My mind's out of gear, and my heart's in overdrive. I've everything to fear. I ain't never been more alive.
Well, we're back with the second segment of Horsepower, Chrome, and Rust. Time for the windshield view. And normally Shane does this, but I'm doing it because, again, he is out this week. We are talking with Carla McDonald, the rep for Cool Puget Sound Car Club called Street Freak Cruisers, and that's K-R-U-Z-R-S. Hi, Carla.
How you doing?
Pretty good. How are you doing?
Hey, we're doing great. I understand that I have to explain this to people now. Carla and her husband were going to be here in the studio with us, but all of a sudden, just out of the clear blue sky, they went to Montana. So we're doing this on the phone. How are things?
With this one, huh?
Yeah. How are things in Montana?
A little snowy.
Yeah, I bet you have fun going over the pass. I'm sure.
Oh, God, yeah. That was a little interesting, but not as bad as I thought it was going to be.
Well, that's good. That's it's always better if it's less exciting than you expected.
That's true, especially with the pass.
Yeah,
know?
Yeah. Well, so tell us a little bit about the Street Freak Cruisers. Now, and by way of introduction, I've seen your club at all kinds of events all around the Puget Sound. You got a lot of really nice cars and a lot of pretty good people. So give us some background. How'd the club get started? How long you guys been around?
Actually, hun, I started the club in August of 2012, and we started out with like 5 or 6 cars, and the next week we had like 12, and then it's been growing. Now we've got like 25 to 30 cars.
That's great. And what goes through your mind when you say to yourself, you know, I have a car and I like driving it around, I think I'll start a car club. How does that come up?
Oh, hun, I have a good time with people, and, you know, most people don't like to do all the work it takes to get everyone together and to do the things that we do, because we go on cruises, we have barbecues in the spring, we go, you know, we have Christmas parties, and, you know, so then, of course, all the car show events that we did. So
it just gave me some
and to keep the car stuff going.
All right. We're getting some a little crosstalk here, but that's okay. Just keep that phone close to you and we'll be fine. Let me ask you this.
I think it's because she's in Montana and probably in an area where the cell reception is not too good.
It could be that.
Yeah,
we'll just power through because we can. So let me ask you this. When you, there's a lot of different kinds of car clubs, and some of them are kind of informal, and some of them have a lot of rules and regs, and some of them have all kinds of, you know, stuff like shirts and, you know, license plate holders and all that junk. What was your vision for how you put the club together? What kind of a club did you want Street Freaks to be?
Oh, hon, I just wanted us to be a big family.
Nice.
And that's what we are. We have coats. We got plaques. We've got, you know, the shirts. In fact, we got 5 different brands of shirts. And so, you know, we have a really good time with that. We got people that make jewelry that have our, you know, little logos on it. You know, so it's a lot of fun. We have a good time with it.
So I know that the first time that I saw you guys was at a little tiny show in Shoreline, which is in the north end of Seattle, for those who are listening from someplace else. And it was actually at a middle school up there. And there was a bunch of people up there, and there you guys were. And you had your table and your pop-up tent and your merchandise and your shirts and everything. And I got to say, I mean, I walked around that whole show and talked with the guys that were running it and everything else. And of all of the groups that were up there, and there were several, you guys looked like you were having the most fun.
Everybody likes coming up and hanging out with the cruisers because we are a lot of fun. We're a bunch of children at heart, you know?
Well, that kind of describes hot rodders in general, I think. So
yes.
right on the same path. So you say you have 20,
you have
25 or 30 people in your group, right?
Well, actually, that's just cars.
Okay. So there's more, obviously, you know, some of them are owned by couples and stuff, I'm sure.
Yeah. Yeah. So we got probably about 75 to 90 people in the club.
You know, that's quite a bit of growth over 5-6 years. That's not bad at all.
Yes, it has been.
Yeah. So,
in fact, we put a stop to letting people come in last year just so we could kind of mellow out a little bit. And so next year we'll be accepting new members again.
Okay. So it's good to kind of get your arms around things, especially when you have that kind of growth. I mean, are you the kind of club where you have officers and specific duties, or does everybody just pitch in?
No, actually a lot of people pitch in, but I do have 3 people that actually help me out with our like page and things like that. So with pictures and helping me get people together.
Well, give them some love. You can tell me their names. That's okay.
Oh, yeah, Robert Sweeney, David Obie, and Heidi Rebane.
Yeah.
And Ben Axton.
Now, what kind of cars do they drive?
Okay, Ben drives a 55 Chevy Nomad.
Oh, okay.
Actually, it's a panel wagon, I should say.
Oh, even better. Those are harder to find.
Yeah. And then Robert Sweeney drives a Mopar. What year was that, Tom? Okay, a 66 wagon.
Oh, all right.
Yeah. And then David Obie, he drives a 55 Chev.
Okay.
And,
it's always good to have the Tri-Fives represented.
And what do you drive?
Our favorite baby is a 56 T-Bird that has been gassered out.
Oh, okay. So no no Suzanne Summers' approach to this one. You jacked it up and rolled the pipes out, huh?
Tom, my husband drag races it a lot, which a lot of us cruisers do in the summertime. We'll take off and go drag racing every now and then. And so, he plays with that. He's got a 51 Henry J.
Ah.
That he does the same thing with. And my baby's a 57 T-Bird.
A 57, okay.
She's centered.
Now, I have to ask you about the Henry J. You've clearly semi-gassered it, right?
Yep.
Okay. See, I have a theory about Henry J's, Carla. I think that there's probably maybe one or maybe two in the entire country that aren't gassers. I think every Henry J left has been made into a gasser.
That's what I've seen. I think every one of them I've seen is a gasser.
You never see them stock.
Have you seen mine? Have you checked out the pictures?
You know, I have, actually.
Yeah, she was the flamed one.
Yeah, yep, sure enough.
Yeah,
it's cool to see them. You know, I mean, they didn't make that many of them in the grand scheme of things, and people just love them, you know? Everybody knows what it is.
They do.
Yeah, it's a hoot. And
everybody knows Mr.
Mr. Nasty. Speaking of the pictures, now you guys have a Facebook page. And people can look up Street Freak Cruisers. And by the way, I'm going to say this again. It's K-R-U-Z-R-S. So when you do the search, that's how you're going to find it. And all of that stuff is on there. You got a lot of great pictures. So give me an example of what a weekend looks like for the club.
Okay, on the weekends, Fridays, when it's nice out, hon, we've started our own little cruise up on Highway 9 in Marysville at the Walmart.
Okay.
And then Saturday, you know, if there's not a car show going on, a lot of people get together and they go out to Burger King on Highway 9 in Arlington.
Right. Now, for those of you who are listening from outside the area, all of these things she's talking about are north of Seattle on the corridor between Seattle and Mount Vernon, basically, on the western side of the state. Yeah. So it's beautiful roads, marvelous driving, and a good place to go. And, well, not that we would do any illegal street racing, but if you were to do that, it's a nice long straight stretch of road up there on Highway 9.
Well, you got to go. You actually got to go quite a ways now to get out of any of these little burbs as you're going along Highway 9. I went that way to go up to Mount Vernon, and it wasn't until past Arlington, and then all of a sudden it opens up.
And once you get past Arlington, but that's only 17 miles or so.
Yeah,
past
there you go.
You're okay.
And it's fun. It's fun.
Very cool.
That's a road we cruise in the springtime.
Yeah.
Yeah, we get about 15 cars together or so, if not more.
All right.
Just cruising the line. We all got walkie-talkies, so in case someone has problems or gets stuck behind, just pull over.
Cool. Well, Carl, hold the phone. We're going to take a break for just a second, and we will come back and talk more about Street Freak Cruisers here on Horsepower Chrome and Rust.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, how would you like to have a chance to win a fully restored four-on-the-floor red 1965 Mustang? Well, you can. Linwood Rotary is raffling off this fully restored 65 Mustang at a car show near you. Chance to win this car is just $10 per raffle ticket. For more information and to find out where the car will be displayed, visit rotaryoflinwood.com/car-raffle. rotaryoflinwood.com/car-raffle. Proceeds will go into funding local charities.
Attention men under the age of 35. You know what really impresses the ladies? When a guy has a few drinks and later gets pulled over for buzz driving. That could cost you around $10,000 in fines, legal fees, and increased insurance rates. There goes let's grab dinner and a movie. Oh, I know. You drive more carefully when you're buzzed. You've proven that hundreds of times. A woman admires that kind of confidence. And you've practiced how to speak if a cop does pull you over. Slowly, clearly, and politely, like, good evening, officer. A woman admires that kind of foresight. And what woman doesn't find it adorable that you call it buzzed even though the law calls it drunk? You could kiss $10,000 goodbye, along with any chance of having a girlfriend. Because nothing says, I'm a catch, more than a guy who lives in his parents' basement and calls it my place.
Buzzed, busted, and broke. Because buzz driving is drunk driving. A message from the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration.
More Horsepower Chrome and Rust after these messages.
Looking for a job worth talking about? Teaching is creative, collaborative, and intellectually challenging. See why teachers have better work stories at teachdfw.org and learn more about becoming a teacher.
1 in 7 Americans will struggle with addiction during their lifetime. Want to know how you can help? Go to heretolisten.com for tips and tools to help turn addiction around.
Hello, this is Zach with Cascade Campers. You're listening to Horsepower Chrome and Rust.
City. Well, yes, welcome back to the third segment of the show. This is Horsepower Chrome and Rust, and we are talking with Carla McDonald from Street Freak Cruisers. Just before the break, we were talking about, well, we were trying to get our phone system fixed, and we got, I think, a little
better connection.
We
were also
connection.
Talking about street racing up in
yes,
Arlington.
Yes, we were. Street racing in Arlington.
But not that we would ever actually illegally street race, but I know it's something that car people kind of do, you know, now and then. Carla, how you doing?
Pretty good. Really good, in fact.
Good. Well, welcome back. Now, you got one of your you got your husband there. He's also active in the club, right?
Yes, he sure is.
And his name is?
Tom.
Tom McDonald. Hi, Tom.
Yeah. Hi, Tom. He says he's the one who builds all these cars.
Oh, I see.
He races them all.
Oh, I see. Okay. Well, yeah. I should talk to him. I got a car I need
to
build myself.
Do you want
to
say hi to him?
Oh, sure. We'd love to talk to him. Absolutely. Put him on.
Okay. Hold the phone.
Hey, man.
Hi, Tom. How are you? This is Brady. I got Steve online here as well. Glad to have you. So Carla says you're the one that builds all these cars. Is that right?
Yeah, the mastermind behind it.
A mastermind. I like it. A man with humility.
Yeah. Well, I got a question. How long have you been working on cars?
Oh God, maybe since I was like 13 or something, 12.
So 10 years or so.
Yeah. Exactly. Huh?
That's great. So I got to ask this, because everybody that works on cars has certain cars that they like, certain cars that they, you know, maybe don't. What's your favorite kind of ride to work on?
Ford.
You like them?
I like them.
Yeah?
I bleed blue blood, man.
You got your shoebox at heart, are you?
Yeah, I like the old stuff. You know, I'm more like the 50s cars.
Yeah.
You know, the 60s. I'm like, I don't know. It's just kind of my gig, you know. Like straight axle shit, do stupid shit to cars.
So let me ask you, when you were, I was talking to Carla about this, and I'll get your take on it too. What goes through your mind when you say to yourself, you know, I think we need to start a car club?
Well, let me tell you, she's a better one to talk to on that about that than me, because like, I just assume work on the cars and go play, you know.
Well, so did she talk you into this?
What's that?
Did she talk you into it?
Yeah, she's the plan behind that stuff, you know. I like building the cars and having a good time and all. And, you know, it's just all fun. I like seeing all the people and hanging out and all that good shit. But
sounds like just exactly what car people do. So give me an example, if you would. What's a typical weekend look like for the street freaks? And you guys have a cruise or something regular weekends or no?
Yeah, just hanging out up there at Walmart Friday night, and then, you know, we just figure out which direction we're going to head and go screw off, and then same thing on Saturday night up at Old Burger King there, and hang out there, and then we'll figure out who wants to play around and screw off.
All right.
Off we go.
So is there one signature event that you guys have for the year?
We did a couple of car shows. And,
yeah.
And I think that when we put a car show on, it's got to be everything free, you know.
Sure.
And that's the gig I like, man.
Well, I'll tell you what. You guys may not know this, but I produce the Edmunds Classic Car Show every year in September. And I hereby invite you guys to come as a club and exhibit up there. It won't cost you much at all.
Excellent. Perfect.
Super. Yeah. Hey, Tom, I'm glad to talk with you. Let me say a couple more words to Carla, if you would.
You got it.
Thank you, man.
Okay, I'm back.
Hey, I'm glad you're back. Well, I just have a couple more questions for you.
Okay.
One thing is, you said you were going to kind of take a bye year and, you know, get your arms around the whole idea of the club. What do you see in the future for the club?
Actually, we're going to have a few more people join. And then other than that, hon, we just like just doing things together. We go out on Saturdays during the wintertime and have dinners. And, you know, we just all like getting together. And, of course, not all of us can get together. But, you know, we all go out in patches. And sometimes it's kind of hard getting into restaurants, you know. But
yeah.
Other than that, we all have a good time. We all like to really get together. And if it's just going for a cruise, that's what we do, you know.
Perfect. So. You know, that is Car Club 101,
yeah.
Right there. That's exactly what people do.
It is.
You know, a bunch of people with the same ideas and, you know, some spare time and a wrench or two, and that's how stuff like that gets started.
It is, and it's so much fun because you meet some of the most neatest people on the road, you know, because everybody comes up to see your cars, you know. So
yeah. Yep.
It's so much fun to just meet people, and they friend you on Facebook, and they always remember, and like, you know, we allow kids to hop in Tom's Hot Rod, you know, T-Bird, and take pictures, and their faces just glow, and they light up, you know,
yep.
Sitting behind the wheel of it, you know, and It's just so much fun. We have really a good time. So.
Well, that speaking of pictures and everything, I'm going to redirect people to your Facebook page. It is Street Freak Cruisers, and it's K-R-U-Z-R-S. We're going to put a link to that on our page and you know, make sure that we share all of that so that people can come and find you guys. And, you know, it has been marvelous talking with you. I really appreciate the time. And, you know, we're going to see you guys out on the road. I guarantee it.
Well, awesome. That would be great. I was telling the club that. And they were just excited to meet you. So,
well, we're looking forward to it. Carla, I want to thank you. It's Carla McDonald from the Street Freak Cruisers. And we will definitely put a link up on our page for you guys. And you drive safe out there, all right?
I will, hon. Thanks for having us on.
Hey, you're really welcome.
You bet.
All right, Carla.
Bye-bye, you guys.
So long. Hey, you're listening to the greatest automotive info show in the known world. This is Horsepower, Chrome, and Rust. We got a cool hot rod story you can tell people and claim it was yours coming up next. But before we get there, we have a really great opportunity to talk about one of the all-time worst muscle cars that ever came into existence, the 1980 Chevrolet Corvette. I hate to say Corvette.
What year you're saying?
1980.
That was a gutless.
It was the C3.
Yes.
Everybody knows, but see, here's the thing. 70 and 80. 70 and 80 were basically the same cars with 10 years in between them, you know? And the design was the same, although the 80 had some more sculpted front end and rear end.
Well, the
80s,
they went more with a rounded back
windshield.
And
but the scary part about it, the horrible part about it, was the technology was the same. The engines looked the same on the outside, but in 1970, the Corvette had 435 horsepower.
Oh, I know.
It was a winner.
It was.
By 1980...
Same engine, too.
And they had managed to detune it to 180 horsepower. It was 10 horsepower less in California, too, because of the EPA stuff. So what happened? Well, you know, recession, emission standards, safety regulations, they basically beat the car into the ground. And it was really kind of, by that time, you know, it was kind of a dinosaur.
You know,
the styling was done. It had a lazy engine. The interior was sucky. That's the technical term, by the way, sucky.
It
looked like it meant business, but it was just a dog.
It was just a dog.
It actually holds the number 11th spot on the worst of the muscle cars. It took them to 1982. The C3 went to 82, and then in 84 they replaced it with the C4, which was, you know,
an improvement.
But anything would have been an improvement. I mean, it was almost a Chevette at that point. Just a sad commentary.
A Chevette.
Yeah, on a Corvette body.
I wanted to bring up a couple things. We've got a little bit of time here.
Yeah.
And the airbag update. We've been talking about
the... Oh, yes. Oh, my gosh. Takata.
The latest.
Oh, yeah.
Largest automotive recall in history continues as Ford recalls another 953,000 vehicles worldwide to replace the Takata passenger airbag inflators.
And in all fairness, the cars are not being recalled. They're recalling the cars for the airbags.
It's airbags.
Yeah. I mean, you know,
anything wrong with the car. Yeah. Anything this is attached to is, you know, could have shrapnel blowing out of it. And
I know.
So they're
it's the worst.
It's the worst. It's a nightmare.
It's a catastrophic engineering failure. I mean, how could they? You say to yourself, if you're an engineer, I know engineers. They are the most meticulous people, but how they let this one get by? You'd think that as soon as they had just the smallest inkling that there was a problem with the design, they would have gone in there and done something. They would have done recalls and all.
Well, let's put it this way. I think what happens is nothing goes wrong with these things until 3 or 4 years go down the road.
Sure.
Then when it blows up inadvertently, whatever, that's 4 years down. Let's say 4 years down the road. That could be several million vehicles.
Sure.
That those... from the point with the problem has been going on. So now they got to recall all 4 million.
Yes.
And
but you do that.
Well,
I know. It's a safety
issue.
But
you do
that. You don't keep manufacturing the thing, though, and putting it in cars.
Do you think they kept manufacturing this?
Oh, don't you?
I think it was just on too many cars.
Look at how many of them, though. I mean, what's the latest recall?
Maybe it went 6 years before the first recall.
Yeah. What's the latest recall? What's the total number?
Well, that was 953,000 vehicles on this one.
So call it a million.
A million.
Okay. I mean, you know how many marks, how many different cars
had those airbags. Here it is. It comes from the 2010 Ford Edge, Lincoln MKX, 2010, 2011, all the way up to 2014.
So that's 4 years.
4 years, like I said, four years worth of producing this. That's just Ford alone.
Right.
Manufactured across every, because everybody uses these things.
I know. That's the worst part.
So I call it kind of like the Armageddon of cars. And, you know, speaking of Armageddon.
Takata-mageddon.
Yeah, Takata-mageddon. Well, guess what show I pulled from the library?
Oh,
a 1983 classic.
I shudder to think.
V? No.
With Mark Singer?
Mark Singer.
Oh, my gosh.
I am watching this thing.
What was the woman that played the head alien?
Oh, gosh, I can't remember, but I'll see it tonight. I'm going to watch more of it tonight.
Oh, my God.
Anyway, I was thinking 83, and then I started looking at all the cars in that.
Yes.
You know, 83, 80s.
There was probably a C3 Corvette in there.
I'll bet there is. I'm going to look. I'll bet you there is.
Struggling to get up a hill.
As they're being chased by the aliens.
Yeah, and they're outrunning it.
Oh, my gosh. Well, what's interesting is the 80s are really big now with a lot of young guys and some gals from the ages of about 18 all the way up through about 30.
That's
they're going back and buying the 80s car.
And
my son's got his 89 Crown Vic. He was telling me, Dad, my 2001 Taurus is getting 13 miles to the gallon around town. That's not good. I could be riding my Crown Vic for that.
You could.
And I said, you need to take it in and have it checked out because that's not good gas mileage. But I have been seeing more and more of these things, 80s vehicles. We ran into a guy at the Everett Car Show who had about a mid-80s. A Torino or something? I forget what he had.
Well,
and
he had the
hopped up. I don't know. It was like a big turbocharged V8 that came from a later car, and they're dropping these things in there.
Well, but look, anything 30 years old or older is a classic.
It's a classic.
So that's why those cars are coming out. I mean, the more and more. Plus, you know, when you are a certain age and older, any Crown Vic gives you an immediate knee-jerk reaction.
Yes.
Oh, that's a cop car.
isn't because it's got the vinyl. But anything that Crown Vic. And speaking of cop cars, interestingly enough, the brand new Ford, not Explorer, but the, where is it? Is that on my other piece of paper I gave to you?
I don't know.
There?
Did you give me a piece of? You had maybe.
Yeah. So, anyways, Ford's new 2020 Police Interceptor utility.
Okay. Yes.
Made its debut at the Consumer Electronics Show. Is based on the all-new version of the big Explorer SUV Ford,
right?
Which was officially introduced not too long ago. But
they're bringing something out to compete with the Denalis and the
Tahoes. Interesting thing is this one is going to be all. It's only going to be offered in the half battery, half gas.
Well, the hybrid.
Hybrid.
Yeah.
Because guess why? 60% of their time is spent sitting there idling away.
Sure.
So why not have a battery operated, and you're not using as much fuel.
Absolutely.
Because mostly cops use them for pursuit and that type of thing, or just idling around town.
Sitting. Writing paperwork and stuff. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
So it makes sense that they're going with this kind of a route. That's where hybrids make a lot of sense.
As long as they've got the power to catch somebody if they need to.
Well, and that's the other
thing. You can't outrun the radio. That's my favorite.
You know,
they'll never catch me. They don't have to catch you.
The old 70s movies, you can't get away with that anymore.
No, they don't have to catch you.
Running around in helicopters, chasing people through orchards and stuff like Crazy Larry, Dirty Mary. Classic.
Now you're really dating yourself.
One of the best chase movies and ever was, as far as I'm concerned. Peter Fonda was
in
that.
Yes.
Back
before he went crazy.
Yeah. And then the other guy they both were in Easy Rider.
Dennis Hopper.
Dennis Hopper was in it.
And Jack Nicholson.
Yeah, but Dennis Hopper and Peter Fonda were in Dirty Mary Crazy Larry.
Yes, that's right.
And they had two
Welcome
cars.
To Movie Trivia Night, folks.
Is it Impala? I think it was a 65 Impala was their first car.
It was a great year.
And then they had the Cuda or the Challenger.
Yeah.
That was great. Great show. I love
65 Impala is one of the best looking Chevys ever produced.
I have to admit, I'd like to have
65, 66.
I still think if we could do a hybrid using a battery, electric motor and something like that, and just beefy motor, like twice the size of a Tesla.
It'd have to be because those things were heavy.
Yeah, twice the size of a Tesla motor. I think
well, you got room under the hood for twice the size of a
Tesla.
Yeah,
that's what I'm saying.
No doubt.
And a lot of trunk space for batteries.
Oh, we got the new year off to a great start. Stick with us. This is, as you are aware, the greatest automotive info show in the known world, Horsepower, Chrome, and Rust.
Listen, as a hiring manager, I've got to tell you, the best job candidate isn't always the typical candidate. Sometimes they're a grad of life.
Meet the grads of life. Young adults of unique determination and experience, an ideal fit for your company in an entry-level position, internship, or mentorship. They might not have every qualification you typically look for, but they're exactly who your company needs.
Sometimes the best candidates aren't the ones you're used to.
Go to gradsoflife.org to learn how to find, cultivate, and train this great pool of untapped talent.
Hey, car enthusiast, are you in need of a restoration and fabrication shop that turns old steel into rolling works of art? Then look no further than E-Company Customs Hot Rods and Restorations. E-Company Customs, that's Customs with a K, is the Northwest's fastest-growing restoration and fabrication shop, providing frame-off restoration, custom mods, upholstery, rust repair, hand-done metalwork, motor work, body and paint, and a whole lot more. To book an appointment, visit them at ecompanycustoms.com or stop by their shop at 15002 Suite A, Highway 99, Linwood, Washington. E-Company Customs, providing a stress-free experience to both new and returning customers.
Stick around. We'll be back after these words.
When it comes to saving money, don't act like a baby.
Goo goo gaga.
Be the boss and make a budget.
I'm the boss, baby.
You're the boss of me.
I am the boss of you.
Are not.
M2.
Are not.
M2.
Need a little help?
Aren't you going to do any work?
I'm very busy delegating.
Create a personalized savings plan.
We can share.
You obviously didn't go to business school.
And get other tools and tips at feedthepig.org. Brought to you by the American Institute of CPAs.
This is Elton Roundhill and Shane Osborne with E-Company Customs in Linwood, Washington. You're listening to Horsepower, Chrome, and Rust.
This is Cody with Bow Wow Air Cooled. You're listening to Horsepower, Chrome, and Rust.
This is Robert with Bonbrenner Motorsport. You're listening to Horsepower, Chrome, and Rust.
Welcome back to the fourth segment of the show. This is Cars Confidential, where we talk about all kinds of hot rod stories. Typically, Brady has a great old story from the old Car Nut book, and I'm giggling over here because we're talking about that 80s V and the helmet head hair.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And we're still trying to figure
leftover
out
the bell-bottom pants from the 70s.
Go ahead, Brady.
This is, and may I say that this story has absolutely nothing to do with any of that.
Oh, good.
This is actually a good one. This is from the old Car Nut book number 3. And I might say, by the way, that David apparently did pretty well over the Christmas season. There was a lot of action on the books, and I hope that everybody that had a chance to get one got one. This one is by a gentleman named Mike Hoffman, and it's called Despite Any Problems I May Mention, which leads us to wonder if there might have been some problems. Yeah. We're going to find out. He says, in 2010, I joined the Street Rodder Tour from Fife, Washington, to the Hot Rod Reunion in Bakersfield at the Famoso Drag Strip. It was going to be a 10-day trip there and back. And in the end, despite any problems I may mention, it is now my favorite car event. I had my 34 Ford two-door sedan with a quad 4 Olds double overhead cam, and again, despite any problems I mentioned, this is a well-built car that I enjoy driving. Once we were all gathered, friendships were rekindled, and fluid levels were checked one last time, and maps, and lunch, and potty stops were planned, and as we all fired up to leave Fife, by the way, is a little town south of Seattle, just before you get to Tacoma, so it's right there on the I-5 corridor. And as we all fired up to leave, a bolt broke off my alternator bracket.
Ooh.
This is not usually a good thing.
No.
So the belt flew off and flopped around, made a heck of a racket, and as I lifted up the hood, I peered around to see taillights and exhaust pipes. So I took it to a shop there in Fife, hoping to get things handled quickly and see if I couldn't catch up to everybody. And by the time it was all over, they had the car from 1 p.m. until 8 p.m. on this special Saturday. And to get the broken bolt out of the block cost $500.
Out of the block? Was it just wedged or something?
Nah, apparently the top of it broke off. So, you know, they had to easy.
But yes.
I'm thinking an easy out, yeah. You know, shouldn't have been that expensive. No. But, you know. Once finished, I hit the highway. Now, I spent all night driving to catch up to the group. While they partied and ate, I drove. While they rested, I gripped my steering wheel. But I finally made it to the motel, and I checked into my room, which the manager had kindly held at the insistence of the group that I would get there. The next day, we headed over to Crater Lake. Now, about 15 miles before Crater Lake, all 20 cars pulled over to take a break, and I was the last one in the line because I had no fenders. We all chatted, and people expressed how they were sorry that I'd had trouble, but glad that I'd caught up and was there now. Once it was time to leave, we all jumped in our rides, and as everyone was pulling out, my car wouldn't start.
Oh, no.
I couldn't figure out what's wrong. I called AAA, and they sent a flatbed. I had to wait 3 hours for it, but I finally got to my motel at 8 p.m. in the evening and was, once again, caught up with the tour. Again, I had missed everything that had happened for the rest of the day. The next morning, as everyone headed out, I was flatbedded to a shop in town. Apparently, when the fellow in Fife fixed the bolt problem, he pulled the alternator out of the way to drill the bolt and broke all the wires.
Oh, God.
So once I got those fixed, I drove all day until 9:30 p.m. to catch up with the group at the hotel. The next day went well. That is, until a big truck dropped a limb on the front of my car and broke a headlight. Are you getting the picture here now?
Yes.
There's sort of a theme coming along.
Oh,
pretty easygoing guy, and I figured it was no real problem. Besides, despite any problems I may mention, I was determined to have a great morning and afternoon with the group. Just before Bakersfield, however, my new exhaust header tube broke off a piece and sliced my door.
This sounds like a movie.
This is, yeah.
The money pit.
I don't know how this gets any worse.
The rolling money pit.
I pulled over and thanked my lucky stars that all of the cars in our group had missed the piece that fell off. Well, that's good. I had it welded up the next day and headed for the Famoso track, getting there in the early afternoon. Now, the Hot Rod reunion and being at Famoso was wonderful, and despite any problems I may mention, I made a lot of new friends, and Hot Rod asked to do a shoot of my car for their new Overkill magazine, where it was featured in their very first issue. As I started for home, I lost my reverse gear in my transmission. Not sure where it went. I was pretty sure it was just a linkage problem. Then, the power window quit working. None of this was major, so off I went. Right before the trip, I'd had a new gas tank installed inside the car. It worked well, except when filling the stupid modern-day nozzles with the big spring. As I was finishing with a fill-up on the return journey back north, that first afternoon I pulled back the nozzle and the spring snagged. When it popped loose, it coated my paint and pinstriping with gas. What a mess. I began gently wiping it up. Now, the couple behind me were quite a pair in their old beater truck, looking like the original Beverly Hillbillies. The lady, and I use the term very loosely, must have thought I was taking too long to finish up. They began yelling obscenities and making hand gestures.
Oh, no.
Pulling around me, Babs leans out the truck and hawked a great big loogie on the side of my car.
Oh.
And I watched the gas peel the pinstriping off my paint. She and her rock of jello slithered away before I could get my hands on them. I slowly meandered my way back home.
Do we hear some banjo stuff?
I slowly meandered my way back home, wondering what might happen next. Oh, this is just outside Bakersfield.
Oh, gosh.
The rest of the trip was one without issue, and despite any problems I may have mentioned, I still enjoyed the getaway and hope to do it again in 2015. I'm just proud to be part of the Hot Rod fraternity and willing to deal with all the things we all seem to go through. You know,
I was traveling through Bakersfield one morning.
Yeah.
And that Stone song.
Yeah. I was listening to the Christian radio station on there. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, and those people are out there. They are. And, you know, most of the people you find and you run into on runs are wonderful folks. 99% of them are the salt of the earth, great people. And every once in a while, there's, you know, Babs and Tigger, and I don't know where they come from or where they go after they're done, but they are out there.
You know, this one
is in book 3, and of course, you know, yes, as we always say, thanks to David for compiling all these stories, and you can get it on Amazon if you decide you want to.
Well, it takes me back to when my dad and I, we rebuilt my Mazda 1800 my senior year in high school.
Yeah.
And it had been running, you know, it lost horsepower, so we had just honed it out, put new rings in and the whole bit. And I was running around, and it was kind of warm, but didn't think too much of it. And, you know, it was about a month before graduation. Then I graduated, and 3 days later, I headed to Phoenix. Well, I got to Yreka, and the thing overheated. And I pulled into Yreka in a gas station. He checks it out, and he goes, yeah, you overheated. You're probably, you might have blown a head gasket, blah, 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 blah. Mm-hmm. And we don't work on those, but there's a shop out there near the airport. You might check it down there. So I drove it down there, limped it down there. And I got down there, and he's like, well, let me check it out. So I stayed a night at a motel, and I went back the next day. Yeah, it looks like it's probably a warped head or something. And here I'm kind of dumb, not thinking anything. And I'm like, okay, well, I kind of stayed a few days at this guy next door at a radio shop, right next to a radio shop. So I started hanging out with him. And then I said, well, I'm going to take off. Can you check my car out when, you know, I'm going to be gone? So I got in a bus and went on down to Phoenix, the guy that starts school within 2 days. So I got down there. I went to school, and about a month later, I get the call, okay, Steve, the car's repaired. Everything's going great. So I flew back up to Reading, got in a bus, went down to Yreka, got my car, and took off. Well, I went to the guy over at the radiator shop, and I can't remember the guy, and he's an old guy.
Sure. Ralph, the radiator guy.
Yeah. So, Ralph, what was going on? Was that... You know, they were out there working on it. In the meantime, I decided I'd take the radiator and clean it out. It was all blocked up with rust.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I thought, damn, that's all I needed to do.
Yeah.
All that work.
You could have tossed in a couple of cans of Bars Leak and you'd have been fine.
And I would have been fine.
Who knew?
But, $800 to $1,000 later.
That's why they invented Seafoam, you know.
Yes. But I didn't know. So anyways, I drove the car and it ran great for years to come. But the fact is, that was a lesson I was able to pass on to a number of people who rebuilt the cars and had the same problem. I said, hold it. Did you rebuild the radiator? No.
Yeah.
Go do it. Took care of it every time.
Yep.
Things you learn when you do, when you experience things firsthand, it's something you don't learn. So hang with us. We'll be right back with some trivia and a couple more things.
Oh, yeah. We got things.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, how would you like to have a chance to win a fully restored, four-on-the-floor, red 1965 Mustang? Well, you can. Linwood Rotary is raffling off this fully restored 65 Mustang at a car show near you. Chance to win this car is just $10 per raffle ticket. For more information and to find out where the car will be displayed, visit rotaryoflinwood.com/car-raffle. rotaryoflinwood.com/car-raffle. Proceeds will go into funding local charities.
I adopted Bento in 2010 from a shelter. A lot of people know him as Keyboard Cat.
That's just one adoption story that started at a shelter. Visit theshelterpetproject.org to find a pet near you. Brought to you by Maddie's Fund, the Humane Society of the United States, and the Ad Council.
Hang on till right after these messages.
One in seven Americans will struggle with addiction during their lifetime. Want to know how you can help? Go to heretolisten.com for tips and tools to help turn addiction around. A public service announcement brought to you by the Ad Council.
Did you hear the news? Cartoons Magazine is back. Yep, those car crazy comics from the past have returned in an all-new Cartoons Magazine, featuring some of your favorite artists along with a whole slew of new ones, all working together to bring you an entire magazine filled with one laugh-out-loud auto-related story after another. Bi-monthly issues are available directly through the Cartoons Magazine website at cartoonsmag.com.
I'm jumping in with my clothes on!
Most party fouls are pretty dumb, but if you decide to drink and drive underage, you could lose your license and your freedom. Learn more at ultimatepartyfoul.org. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
This is Robert Durf with the Porsche Club of America Driver Skills Program. Thank you for listening to Horsepower, Chrome, and Rust. And just want to remind everybody that it's no fun unless it smells a little bit like burnt oil and burnt rubber.
Help us if you can. You're an El Camino. El Camino man. Only you can understand.
Welcome back to the fifth and final segment of the first show of 2019. This is Around the Wheel, where we talk about the events and rallies in the club scene and all kinds of other cool stuff that's coming up, not the least of which is the very first trivia question for the entire new year.
Yes.
We did not do a trivia question over the New Year's
because
we just thought, why? And so here it is. And this one's actually going to be pretty easy, except I asked this one of a couple of people over the last week or so, and nobody knew.
Ooh.
And I think that maybe it's because they're younger people. I think that's what it is, because people of a certain age know this one. But we'll try it anyway. So, Oldsmobile, during the 70s and 80s, had a car that was legendary and iconic, both of those things. And you don't even have to know what the model of the car is. If you just know the 442.
Yes.
Everybody knows the Olds 442. What does the 442 stand for?
Oh, there you go.
And so if you know, of course you'd know, but get us on Facebook, you know, flap in there and give us a message that says, here's what it stands for. And you can also go to the Horsepower Chrome and Rust page. You can email us at contactus@horsepowerchromeandrust.com, or you can send us a messenger, or you can roll by the house and throw rocks at my window, or what, you know, whatever works. Next week we'll see who wins that one, and we'll have another trivia contest question, and we'll just kind of blow right straight through the new year. And of course, you know, if you've listened for any amount of time, that the prize for
the
coming up with the
prize.
Answer, the cherished and ever sought after prize, is your very own custom made chrome plated gold inlaid
bucket of barn
bucket
fine
of
dust.
Genuine horsepower chrome and rust barn fine dust, which you can sprinkle liberally over your car and quadruple the value because people think you found it in a barn.
Well, it's true. And speaking of barns, it takes me back to our last episode when we were talking about Bakersfield and this guy going through Bakersfield, and my car broke down in Yreka, and then I headed back down to through California, Bakersfield, and I was going through Bakersfield when I was listening to Some Girls on a cassette deck. And
the Rolling Stones.
And the girl with faraway eyes
was
on, and I was rolling right through the town. And I thought, couldn't be more classic.
You know, just for fun.
It was even in the morning.
What we should do, in fact, I will do this.
Yes.
When we post up this show, and it'll be up in another day or two, I am going to go to YouTube, and I'm going to get a link to Faraway Eyes.
Yes.
And I'm going to add it to the show site just so that people can hear it, because...
It is a classic.
If you haven't heard it for a while, it's really good. And it does. It's kind of a car song.
It is.
Get right down to it. At least it's a road trip song.
Well, and that was a road trip. That was like my second road trip of my own. My first one, I went to my buddy Zane and I, my senior year Christmas break. We took 2 weeks and headed down to California and stayed in San Francisco and went to Los Angeles, went to Disneyland. And on the way home, we went to Crater Lake, because that's another thing he was saying. They went to Crater Lake. And we got up to the top, and it was snowing like nobody's business. And we thought, and I had snow tires on the back of that Mazda. So we ended up barely getting out, and we followed a big semi-truck down the hill, down out of the mountain, out to the main, and got a motel that night. But thank you
smart
for,
move.
It was. We followed behind that as close as we could without being a nuisance.
Do. That's right.
But fond memories of those kind of things on my trip to Phoenix and living down there and then driving home and, you know, all those young life experiences in cars, you can't replace those.
You know, speaking of that, here's something we should do. We should make this a regular feature. Everybody has gone on road trips. Everybody.
Yes.
And during the road trip, there's some tune, some song that you've listened to that is your song. It is the ultimate road trip song. I would love, if you're listening and you have a perfect road trip song, get to us on Facebook, give us the name of your perfect road trip song, and by golly, we'll put it up, we'll play it on the website, and I think that'd be a cool thing.
I think it would.
Maybe we can find a prize. Let's think of something we can do. That would be perfect.
Awesome. Great idea.
Hey, thanks for liking and following our page, by the way, speaking of websites. That is our cue to hit the gas until next week. Thanks to Carla McDonald from the Street Freak Cruisers. For Shane Osborne and Steve Johann, I'm Brady Wright. Say, keep your eyes on the road, your hands on the wheel, and your foot to the floor. Next week, we're going to have another edition of Horsepower, Chrome, and Rust.
Beep, beep. Beep, 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 beep.